It dawned on me this morning that I haven't preached here for a month, and I don't think that's happened since I've been here. Now that I'm a year older, I'm just praying that we can knock the rust off and it's not too bad this morning. So, have you ever really thought about how many voices are speaking to you every day? Obviously, they're the obvious ones, spouse, kids, coworkers, friends, those kind. But I think they're even more to consider. If you have the radio on, if you have the television on in your house, if you watch movies, if you read books, and then there's the juggernaut that is part of all of our lives to a certain degree, social media. There are just, on any given day, there are multitudes of voices that are speaking into our lives. And by and large, there's nothing wrong with that. Obviously, it depends on the message. But as long as we are able to hear from the most important voice, the voice of God. For me, the idea that the creator of the universe, the God who reigns over the ages, the God who is timeless, the God who holds the universe in his hand, wants to take the time to speak to my heart, to speak to my situation, is an amazing thing. And I think sometimes I take that for granted. But when you slow down and really consider that fact, what are there? There are 7-point-something billion people on the planet, and God has a desire to communicate and speak to each and every one of them. Do we give his voice the undivided attention that we should with all the other voices that swirl around? I mean, just take into account your habits this morning, just for a minute. What voices do you tend to listen to most? Does God shape, amplify, or silence the other voices you hear? Here's the thing we need to understand. This is what I want you to grasp this morning. The things that we listen to every day mold and shape us and how we pursue God, how we act out our faith. So we need to make sure that we are hearing what God has to say to us. So for the next 2 weeks, we're just going to be looking at kind of the whys and the hows and of hearing God. And while I think there is no pat answer, or there's not a formula, because God is not just wanting to give us instructions on do's and don'ts and all those things, God actually wants this relationship with us. But it doesn't mean that God doesn't give us guidance on how to hear from him. And this is one of those sermons for, I think, absolutely everyone. Whether you're in a relationship with God or even if you don't have one, the truth of the matter is that God desires to communicate with every single person on this planet. Now, obviously, if you're a Christian, he's going to communicate to you differently than a non-believer. The non-believer, God wants to communicate his amazing love and his desire for a relationship with them. For us as Christians, he is transforming us so that we look more and more like Jesus Christ, and he wants to be involved in that process because he knows better than anybody else what that's going to take for us and the temptations we face and the struggles we have and all those things, and he wants to speak into that. I mean, wanting to communicate with us is, I would argue, part of the reason why he created us in the first place. He loves us with this amazing love, and he wants to communicate and have that relationship. And we need to remember that it is out of that great love that he chooses to speak to us. That love, I think, affects us in again, ways that we can't even fathom. I think someday when we get to heaven, I think we might realize how much that his love affected us and influenced us and protected us. But that his voice, he wants to speak those things. So this morning we're just going to look at a couple things. We're going to look at the whys quickly and then the hows for how God speaks to us so that we can recognize. So just quickly, some of the biblical whys. Number one, to give direction or guidance. There are incredible amount of examples in this scripturally. We're not going to cover them all, from starting Noah, build a boat, doesn't make sense, it doesn't matter, that's what I want you to do, up to the New Testament for Acts 1 where they had to replace Judas, and so God was in the process of replacing the disciple. All these places where God gives guidance, and it doesn't, he hasn't changed. God has, and how many times have you heard your pastor say this to you? God has plans. God has opportunities just for you. He's given you your talents. He's given you your skill. He's given you your opportunities, and he wants you to have that. And so sometimes I think we feel like we're just out in this world, and again, with all these voices and these things swirling around us, I know I pray on a regular basis, Lord, help me not miss any of those opportunities, because I think we can do that. We get so wrapped up into just the busyness of life that God doesn't shout at us. He doesn't tend to be, he just sits there and waits for us to hear. And so we have to be able to tune that out and be able to listen to him. And so to seek his guidance, sometimes we have to slow down. Another thing he communicates, I think he gives us warning. I mean, if you've ever read the Old Testament, like the last two-thirds of the Old Testament are minor prophet after prophet after prophet. What is their main message? Look, you've screwed up. God loves you, but you have messed up again. And his wrath is coming. And so if you want to avoid this, do X, Y, and Z in his faithfulness. I mean, over and over and over again, God wants to warn. He wants to communicate that. Same for you. Every day, you have opportunities and decisions to make. Right? Some of them are blaring, right? We know if we decide this, it's a sin. If we go this way, it's not. We get to decide, right? Sometimes the sin looks so good, we don't tend to think about the consequences, right? And so God wants to go, look, I know it looks good, but remember what I've told you before? I want you to understand where this might be going. So God, I think lovingly, I think sometimes we think those warnings are God being a killjoy. He doesn't want us to have any fun. That's what the world says, right? That God is this cosmic cop. He just wants to spoil all your fun. But we know that sin comes with consequences. So God not only guides and gives us direction, he also warns us. The third thing I think really God speaks into us is affirmation. I think there's a great example in the Old Testament. We see that Moses is passing away. God is raising Joshua up to be the leader of Israel, and Joshua is unsure of himself. He's kind of worried. Maybe he's got some self-esteem, or maybe he's watched Moses beat his head against the wall trying to rule and lead these crazy people. Maybe Joshua doesn't want it, and God says, look, I've chosen you. You have what it takes. If you trust me, I'm a faithful God. And I will. So he pours his affirmation into us. And go, guess what? God affirms us as well. He wants to speak. I mean, part of the sermon, if nothing else you get this morning, you need to be reminded how much God loves you this morning. That we are God's delight. How often do you feel that, right? You look at yourself in the mirror, you see the mess of your life, the mess of your junk, and you're thinking, oh my word, God delights in you. If nothing else you hear this morning, maybe that's what you're here for, that God loves you and delights in you. He wants to affirm you. I mean, this world, we get beat up. How many times in your life have you told you're not good enough, you're a failure, you're worthless? Maybe it's from a parent, maybe it's from a coworker, maybe it's from a job, maybe it's just the culture going, if you drive this, you're not worth nothing, you need to be driving this, you need to be making this, you need to be living in this house. We get beat up. And yet the creator of the universe wants to say, what? No, you're my child, I love you. You are my delight. So God wants to warn us, he wants to guide us, and he wants to affirm us. These are the whys of God wants us to hear his voice. And when you think about it, it's pretty much like being a parent, right? When you break down as a parent, think about it. What are the main things that you tell your children, right? I thought about it. Guidance, warning, and affirmation. That covers out pretty much most of what I try to communicate with my children on a regular basis. Is there any shocked that God refers to himself as our Father? I mean, he wired us into this. So when it comes to speaking with God, I don't think the why is where we struggle. I mean, I think it makes sense. We need guidance, we need warning, we need affirmation. I think where we kind of get in trouble or we struggle with is the how. How is God speaking? Can I be sure that I'm hearing him correctly? Well, the Bible gives us multiple ways of how God speaks, and we're just going to go through those this morning. Number one, the blaringly obvious one, right? The one that I preach out of. Here's the thing. If you have been looking for God to speak into your life, into your situation, and you have not heard from him lately, I would question, have you been in his word? Because often we get in trouble, or we get in a pinch, or we get in a struggle, and maybe we're down on our knees, we're begging for God to speak, but there's a quarter inch of dust on this sucker. Why is God going to show up and answer when he's given you his word that can speak to your situation, can speak to your heart? So it's like this. Most of you have a phone in your pocket, and you text, right? We understand texting. It's a form of communication. Some of you text way too much. I won't point out to who you are. So you understand that. You don't wait for a text to show up on your TV screen, do you? If you do, talk to me. I'll try to clarify that for you later. It'd be stupid. You're sitting in there, you're waiting for your text from your kid, you're just waiting at the screen going, I know it'll pop up here eventually. No. You have to use it for what it's for. Television's not. Living Word of God. You want God to speak, he's probably not going to call you. He's probably not going to text you. If God does text you, I would double check that before you do anything that that text says. If God says, yeah, I want you to do this. So this is the living word, living. We refer to this as the living word of God. It's not just some history book. Time and time again, I can't tell you how many times that I have picked that book up. I don't know how many times I've read it. And man, there's a verse, there's a phrase, there's a word that speaks exactly to where my heart is. The living word of God. And so this is what 2 Timothy 3 tells us about it. All scripture is inspired. It's useful for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that everyone who belongs to God may be proficient, equipped for every good work. Here's, when I read this verse, there's part of me is like, man, that book is for a lot of good things. And then I read it and go, you know what? Maybe some people haven't heard from God because you frankly don't want to hear from God. Why? Reproof, training, correction. Ignorance is bliss, right? How many people do you know just want to hear that God loves them and wants to bring them to heaven, but they don't want to do anything else that God has for them? They want their cake and eat it too. They want to approach God in the ways that they want to approach God, but then they expect God to do everything that he said he would. Sorry, folks, it doesn't work that way. You either get to choose to make God the Lord of your life, Lord meaning he can ask you to do whatever he wants, regardless of your feelings about it, regardless if you like the idea or not, or he respects us as people enough to go, okay, you want to choose to go that way? Fantastic. But don't expect me to bless that. Don't expect me to swoop in. If you choose that way, he's going to let you go. Now, praise God that when we do go that way and we find ourselves in a mess, he's willing to swoop in and take us when we cry out to him. It's the living word of God. I mean, I truly believe to the core of my being that ultimately God wants us to live in his joy, his peace, his love, his hope. He wants to bless us in ways that we cannot even imagine. But we can't have it our way and get all of this. We have to do it God's way. And that means allowing him to speak into our lives, frankly, whether we want to hear it or not. And I will go one step farther, actively seeking to hear. Right? Sometimes we just sit and go, okay, God, here we go. No, are you in the word? There are times I read this that it's just solid. Nothing jumps out at me, but I think it's still a worthwhile thing. There are other times it's like God is in the room. He's pointed out something to me. Now, if I wasn't in the habit, if I wasn't cracking it, I would cheat myself out of those times when God really uses his word to speak to me. Another way that God speaks to us is through other people. Ephesians 4:11. The gifts he gave were that some would be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. First, if God has placed someone over you as a teacher or preacher, then he has a purpose for that. I will tell you, there are probably some aspects of my job that I'm pretty loose with. I dress differently than most pastors I've met, and I know that the Romanians took me to task on that. I told you we'd share Romanian things, right? So we're up, and it was hot, right? And so I had shorts on every day. So I when it was the clinic was slow, I would take my interpreter, and we'd walk the paths and invite people to come down. And he's in pants. And I'm like, dude, I'm like, don't you own shorts? He's like, when we're out in the community, we can't wear shorts. I'm like, why? He's like, oh, that's what the church says. I'm like, I'm glad I'm not a Baptist. But the real interesting one, we're sitting there, and they saw my tattoos and his wife. So we're sitting in his home church, and his wife comes, and she asked me about my tattoos. And she's like, before Christ, right? And I was like, no, actually, two after I was a pastor. And that just... that did not compute at all. And she's like, don't you have restrictions? I'm like, oh, you're talking Leviticus? I'm like, do you like bacon or shrimp? And I went to Romania. I didn't want to stomp on toes. I didn't want to, at one time in a meal, we brought up women in leadership, and he had a different opinion. I said, look, you and I are going to disagree on this one, and I'm not going to beat you with it. These pastor leadership, for whatever reason, if you're sitting in the pews and you feel like God's called you here, like it or not, God has given me the task of teaching you and preaching to you. And so when I listen to that, look, the world doesn't need another motivational speaker. When I come to the Word, I do so humbly and prayerfully. The verse I hate the worst in the Bible is that teachers will be held to a higher standard, because I am terrified of that, because it's easy, I think it's really easy, to get it wrong. And yet here, the gifts he gave to some were apostles, pastors, all this stuff. Look, I hope every day when I step up and preach that God uses some small thing, and whether it was part of my sermon or not, while I'm preaching, that God would speak to you in a way that he draws you closer. But here's the thing. It's not just about pastors. In the book of Acts, we see this story where Paul and Barnabas are out, they're doing their mission work, and the people are so enthralled that they believe they're demigods. This is what Paul says to them, Acts 14:15. Why are you doing this? We are humans just like you. Please give up all this foolishness. Turn to the living God who made the sky, the earth, the sea, and everything in it. Paul looks at these individuals and he says, we are just like you. Now, you might argue that Paul was not like us, right? When you read what Paul went through as an apostle, it's mind-blowing that he, in some ways, did everything that he did. But he is basically saying, look, when it comes to communicate, God can use absolutely anyone. If you don't believe that, turn to Numbers 22 this afternoon and read how God used a donkey to talk. If God can use a donkey to talk to someone, I guarantee he can use the likes of you as well. But here's the thing, that means that the flip side of that coin is true as well. God can use ordinary people to speak into our lives. And so here, John, I don't know if you were listening when John was sharing last week, but he shared that he met Leo this year, and it was somebody that he evangelized last year. John, how secure were you last year in your evangelism skills? How many theology classes have you taken? How many evangelism classes? None. Okay, so we're just going to go. John has no education whatsoever besides being in church, growing in church, right? But John showed up and what? Here, Leo is in church and John probably has no remembrance of exactly what he shared with that individual, and yet God used John as his voice to speak into a guy that doesn't even speak English. God uses ordinary people. So we have to be open to not only being utilized in that way, but if someone comes to you, whether they have a degree or not, and they're speaking wisdom into your life, I would challenge you to wake up and pay attention, because God uses ordinary people. Another way that we see God speak to us is through his Spirit. John 14, 25 and 26. I've said these things to you while I'm still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I've said to you. So what does this practically look like? Another example from John, right? So, not the book of John. John sharing last week. He shared that when Ren started sharing, Ren's the dentist, right? He's the one that went and pulled teeth and is gone for 18, 19 years. So the first time that John's in the chair, he can't go anywhere, and Ren's sharing with him about the Romanian trip. What did John say? Do you remember? He said, I didn't know when or where, but I knew that I was going to end up in Romania. Was Ren that great of a salesman? I don't think so. I think that's the earliest stage that the Holy Spirit was going, John, right? I had that same experience. So Jamie last year before the trip was a little hesitant, was a little nervous about the process. So John asked if I would go with Jamie and Jan, and we went to Larry. He's the pastor. Drove over to Battle Creek. I'd never met the guy, and I'm sitting in his office, and he's rattling off this, what they're going to do and all that stuff. That's the first seed that God planted in my heart, and I sat there, and I'm like, I'm going to end up in Romania. It wasn't on my radar. It was John calling me up going, hey, I want you just to come and meet this pastor and go with Jamie and I and pray. That was it. So what we have to understand is the Holy Spirit is, man, he's whispering truth into our lives all the time. We need to be open to that. We need to be paying attention. And guess what? It's not just reserved for preachers. Yes, I have a task to go to the Lord on behalf of this church on a regular basis to speak, to seek his wisdom, his guidance, his truth for us. But as you walk through your life, you can absolutely speak and seek what the Holy Spirit has for you. Again, I think the biggest thing in how we hear from God is whether we truly want to hear what he has to say. Another way that God speaks to us, actually my family experienced last week, I don't know how many of you know, but we ended up doing a whirlwind tour of the Grand Canyon. And I think Psalm 19, 1 through 2 speaks to this. The heavens are telling the glory of God. Firmament proclaims his handiwork. Day to day pour out forth speech. Night to night declares knowledge. When we had finally, after 3 days in an RV with 12 people, I don't suggest it, but we finally get to the Grand Canyon. We have one day to spend. And we're on the South Rim. And I think it was like our second or third stop. And I'm standing with Ty. And Ty's like, Dad, he's like, how can anyone stand here and take this in and not believe in a God? If you've never been, I mean, pictures, you hear, pictures don't, you can't. When it's horizon to horizon, the Grand Canyon's a mind-blowing thing where I think God's showing off a little bit. But we don't have to go all the way and make that trip for that. I think nature speaks in ways all the time. Do we quiet ourselves enough to allow God to whisper? I mean, God didn't have to make the beauty that he does. Why would he? A, because I think he's a creator. I think God is an artist when you look at how he operates. But also, I think it's that affirmation. I think one of the great ways that God affirms us and how he feels about us is by surrounding us with natural beauty. Again, concrete, asphalt, all those things, those are man-made. And we have little jits, little spots of sometimes we can pull beauty together, but compared to what God can do, we can't. I mean, I love the fact that Paul said, compared to heaven, this, we've seen just about a sea. We can't imagine what heaven's going to be like. Again, the Grand Canyon, different stuff. But if you ever just feel like, man, you haven't touched base with God, take some time and go find a quiet spot on Lake Michigan and just sit and listen to the waves. And stay there long enough to watch the sun drop behind the horizon. Maybe you don't have that time. Go out in the middle of a field on a clear night, away from the lights of town, and just stare up into space. If that doesn't speak of a creator, if that doesn't touch your soul, come and talk to me, because we have some things, we got some chiseling to do on your heart. God speaks through his creation. He reminds us in so many different ways and affirms his love and that we have a place in this universe. God wants to whisper to your soul. And then finally, I think God explains in his word that there's kind of a catch-all. Job 33:14, and we know the book of Job is that story of Job and Satan and God going, look, he's got a faith just because you've blessed him so much, and Satan basically takes everything away from Job, and Job stays firm. But at some point, he says, toward the end, he says, for God speaks in one way and in two, though people do not perceive it. Here's the thing. God can speak to you in ways that I haven't mentioned. God is a creative God. God is an all-powerful God. And when we put God in a box, not only do we do him a misservice, but I think we shortchange how we worship him. So God can speak to you in a mighty way. The key, I think, Job hit on it. Do you perceive it? Are you at a point where you are actively and trying to open yourself to allow God to speak to you? Can you hear God? If you cannot hear God, I would say it's not because he's not speaking. You are not quieting yourself, and you are not pulling yourself away from the noise around you enough to hear that still small voice. And we need that. We need to hear God speak into our lives. Listen, I'm just going to have you turn to John 15 with me, if you would. This is a wrap-up. This isn't just the beginning of a sermon, so don't get too nervous. Because I think this, for me, is... And we're going to read 1 through 7. This is the essence of why it's so incredibly important to be tuned in to God's voice and to actively seek it. Because he speaks here of the relationship we have. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes to make it bear more fruit. You have already been cleansed by the word, and I have spoken to you. Abide in me, as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me you can do nothing. Whosoever does not abide in me is thrown away like the branch and withers. Such branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish and it will be done for you. And again, I'm not going to get into the dead branch, the fruitless branch, and whatnot. What I want you to really see is the interconnectedness that God intends for us to have with him. There is no life separated from the vine. We are branches. It's our life. It's our wherewithal. It's how God operates. It's how God produces fruit in us. We can't bring anything to the table on our own. It's God is in that. And if we are not connected to the vine, if we are not allowing God to speak into our lives, then what? We're not only bearing fruit, but we're in risk of shriveling up and dying. Again, the mind-blowing part of me for this entire concept is the God of the entire universe, the Almighty, the Ancient of Days, the Lion of Judah, wants to speak to me personally. He wants to speak into my messy life. He wants to speak into my brokenness. He wants to use it for his honor and glory. He wants to use it for his kingdom. He wants to remind me of his love. He cares enough to warn me when I'm going to do stupid things. How dumb do I have to be to ignore Almighty God and to not listen to his voice? And yet, how many times do we get wrapped into that? Here's the thing. How tuned in are you to God this morning? Have you been clearly hearing his voice in your life? Because I will tell you, he is here, he's available, and he has something for you. If you've not heard from him, it's on you, it's not on him. I encourage you this morning to turn to him. Take some time today. Take some time this week. Listen to what God has to say, and I pray that you slow down and that you listen. Please pray with me. Our gracious Heavenly Father, God, we know this to be true. We know that you want to speak into our lives, and yet we confess that's a hard concept for our small human brains. That God Almighty, and we know you know us. I mean, the Bible references that you know the number of hairs on our head and this intimate that you know us better than we know ourselves. And in some ways, we're thrilled by that. In other ways, if we admit it, we don't like the idea of you knowing us that well. And yet, even though you know us that well, you love us still. And you delight in us. And you want to have this relationship. And you want to commune with us. And you want to speak to our hearts. Lord, wherever we are in that process, I would ask that you would give us a growing desire to want to hear from you. That no matter where we are in this life, and maybe there's someone here, Lord, that doesn't know you, I would ask that in this process of preaching this sermon that maybe they heard how much you think about them and how much you love them, and that this would be the time that they finally see that you want a relationship and that they would take a step forward. And for those of us that have been following you for a long time, Lord, we don't want it to become redundant. Every day we want to hear something fresh from you. We want your guidance. We want your love. We want your warning because we are messy. We are broken. And so for each and every one of us, Lord, I just ask that you would reach out in your love, touch us and speak to us in a way that we need to hear this morning, and just help us to take that with us for the rest of the week and month in our lives. We pray this in God's holy and precious name. Amen.